This episode of Guys, Games, and Beer was recorded live in front of a studio audience. So there.
The Tom already opened it, so it's not really.
You're not supposed to say that, but I'm saying. Definitely, if you're up there, take a tour of the brewery, buy their product. Really good.
I brought a whole buffet of Wisconsin beers this time. I'm going to mention just a few that we really, really enjoy that people may not have heard of. There's Mobcraft. They're out of the Milwaukee area. And they also, their main brewery is in Madison. They also basically crowdsource their beers. So every month or two, they have people vote online. And they come up with the recipes, they post them online as well as the kind of branding and everything. And if they get votes, they get them chosen. They get some really, really good beers that come out. This one's Mista Tea. It's got like really cool steampunk theme. I've got the Double Check. They have some very interesting, very good craft brews.
Can I see the cover on that?
Yeah, they have very great artwork. They're very awesome, and they have very delicious beers. Highly recommend you check those out.
I like this particular one.
Okay, so let's try the beer, guys, and see what we think of this is again. Capital Brewery, Madison, Wisconsin, they're Amber. Woo. Why didn't you give him...
Considering it's a lager, it's actually very hoppy.
Yeah, actually for a lager, it's actually got a little bit of hop to it.
Yeah, it's not...
But not too much. Yeah. I'd say I actually don't mind it.
No, I like it. I don't think it's overly hoppy.
I would say it's a good mid-drink beer.
All right, guys, I'm thumbs up on that one.
I really like ambers, and I don't know, maybe it's just because it's a red lager. I'm just going to count
it. All right.
You can really taste the caramel.
Oh, really? You didn't like it?
No, it's okay.
You can go okay.
It's never okay.
All right. Okay, so Rob, let's start with where are we today?
We are at the Midwinter Gaming Convention. And we're pretty happy to be here for the second year. We recorded a podcast here in a hidden room.
Founder's room, actually.
Yeah,
we were even more hidden than this.
Yes. Yeah, they had no idea we were recording.
But we actually did a show without them knowing about it.
And then they caught us, and we're like, what the hell are you guys doing?
And next thing we know, here we are.
We were dragged down the chains last year, but this year they actually let us in, which is really nice. I want to thank you guys a lot.
And probably a mistake.
Probably.
Again, you guys all got the special guests. I didn't get special guests on mine. These guys all get special guests, but evidently I'm just plain, so I don't get the special guests.
That's right, I'm backwards. You're special something.
Yeah, okay, so, I'll tell you what, let's start with, let's jump onto this one first.
You're gonna do it, huh?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right.
Okay, seeing as we are at the Midwinter Gaming Convention, let's talk about what we're all looking forward to checking out here. And we'll go ahead and start with Larry first. Larry, what do you think about checking out?
Well, I'd like to see if I can find a few new board games that I haven't tried before and try to check those out.
Gonna hit the vendor area or
yeah,
check out
Spaghetti Western? You know, I love Bang and that'll come up later, but I love the Western theme, so Spaghetti Western is one that looked intriguing.
Sweet. Jonah, how about you? What are you looking forward to?
I want to go to the vendor hall also. I don't know.
Buy whatever's inside.
Buy something.
You can get some money.
There's a pattern developing here that...
I got a feeling this is going to be the pattern of the table.
How about Laura?
I'm actually pretty excited about all the costumes. We talked to some people who made their own costumes.
The level of like cosplay here and the things that people have done are really awesome.
Yeah,
like,
so I'm really excited about the costumes.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because of like LARPing conventions. It's kind of cool to see like the medieval and historical as well as a little bit of the fantasy. It's not like too much like... I mean, as much as I love anime and things like that, it's kind of cool to see the more like historical types of stuff. And people really put the intricate detail and everything.
I used to have a vast dislike of LARPers until I came here last year. And then all of a sudden I met like a bunch of LARPers and man, those people are funny as hell. They are so much fun to hang out with.
One of our best interviews.
Mm-hmm. One of our best interviews of all time, really.
All right, Nubette, what are you looking forward to?
I'm excited to see the vendor stands, but I'm definitely excited to see the LARPers. I've never seen LARPing, but going to see the medieval times, we got to see them actually sword fighting with their armor and everything. It was insane to see. Like, they were just going full force. Like, it was loud. If you didn't know what was going on, you would think that somebody just busted through a wall or broke a chandelier or something. But they make all of it themselves and they...
All right.
Noobly.
I'm actually looking forward to the vendor hall, like almost everybody around here. Mainly because I always like to see what I can get for like a new game. I always check out the vendor hall no matter what, and I usually buy something. So if someone has that right game for me, I might be walking out.
My wallet is itching.
Yeah, I'm itching already. You can see it.
All right, Travis? I'll take that money off your hands. I mean, I'll spend it on something nice, I promise. I really like to come here to really hop in things that I normally wouldn't try. People have been coming, and people here are really nice. They've been really great opportunities to just hop in games and kind of see what people are up to. Everybody's willing to demo. I am a huge, huge, huge board game enthusiast. I'm just nerd about that. People have been talking to me about the LARP games and things like that. I'm not very experienced with it, so. But everybody here has been really nice and really great, kind of showing me like these different realms and stuff that they run. It's really cool to check out. So I've just been trying to throw myself as many different things that I haven't played as possible, because it's really where I find some of the like most fun games that I've ever played here. So conventions like this.
Well, I'm just gonna spend money. I mean, and you know me, I'm gonna make a beeline for the vendor hall.
And all this alcohol.
Yeah, drink beer, spend money. I'm really good at doing both, so that's gonna be pretty much my experience here as always.
Absolutely.
And how about you, Rob?
You know it's the vendor hall.
I know it's
every year I find something that I can't live without in the vendor hall. Every one of these things I go to, I spend way more money than I probably should be spending.
Like a $300 Neo Geo.
That was Midwest Gaming Classic. It wasn't Midwinter, but yes, I mean, last one I went to, I got Versa bag. We'll talk about that more later.
If any of you guys have significant others or somebody like telling you, hey, maybe you should cut back on the spending, you should like create a fake podcast, say, hey, we're going to the show to support them, and then they'll tend to like lay off your back and say, oh yeah, get whatever you want. Yeah, that'll work totally.
But you love you, darling.
I was just gonna say, we have our SOs in the audience. You're not supposed to tell them that's why we do the show, that we can still spend money.
Well, that's why I'm part of the podcast,
right.
So I can control his
you
spending.
You can just cover, right?
I can tell them it was a written joke.
Hey, now.
I swear.
It's on the notes. It's on the show notes.
It is on the show notes. All right. So, what's the next topic, Rob?
Well, the next topic is.
Hold on. Wait,
Bob. Is there anything?
Yeah, come on, Bob.
I'm new to it, so for me, it's all kind of interesting and exciting. Like you said, the vendor hall sound, where we handed out all the flyers, that would be a great spot for business.
Awesome.
All right, so it is the vendor hall, it is the consensus. All right.
Yeah, we do like to spend money.
I know we do. Okay, Rob, next, what is our next topic?
The potatoes here.
Yes. Yes, it is. Games for friends who don't play tabletop games. Now, I'm going to tell a little bit about myself, which I generally don't do on the podcast because I'm afraid of stalkers.
We already all know where you live, right?
Yeah, years ago, I started out with Dungeons & Dragons in the 80s, playing it with my cousin Dawn. Hi, Dawn! If you're watching this episode, I'll probably poke her about it. But I grew into that, and then I went into what? Then I went into Warhammer, and then I did some of the Epic stuff. And over the years, I kind of fell off of playing board games. Well, years later, I start doing a gaming podcast, and some of the guys on the crew. Start dragging me back into board gaming, and they came up with games that they thought that maybe I could learn really fast and that I enjoyed. And that's what kind of brought this topic. And now I'm kind of addicted to any small game I can buy in a box.
Over the past 5-10 years, there's been like a huge resurgence. And like, it was really cool, the internet hit, we all had a great time, we played video games, but like, there's something really nice about people getting together, playing games, and even drawing in people who might not regularly play games, and trying some things that are new. There's so many, hey, I see one in the audience. But there's been some really, like, there's a little something for everybody at this point, and board games are making this huge comeback, huge resurgence, and, like, it's, I mean, billions and billions of dollars of industry there now.
And starting to talk about cool board games, Larry, you're up first. What did you bring to the show?
Well, talk about? I bring two, and it's sort of like, kind of like pulling people in further. So you start with something like King of Tokyo, that more or less the mechanics of this game is Yahtzee. Okay, some combination of rolling dice, and you're trying to get some combination that is useful for you at that time. But there's stronger game mechanics in it, or more strategy in than Yahtzee. That they're the Yahtzee, it's always the same. You're trying to get whatever it is you still have left. Whereas this might change based on what other players have done. Maybe you've been kicked out of Tokyo, so now your goal is to like get back into Tokyo. Or maybe you're in Tokyo and you're just trying not to die in Tokyo. And so what you're rolling for changes. So, and then you're starting to think in a different kind of fashion than just kind of, okay, I need a flush, I need that. So this is one, and it's also kid-friendly, so you can have your friends come over with their kids and everybody can play together.
Up to how many players?
Six.
Really? Nice.
Yeah. And so everybody's got a Ginchy little, as you can see up there, everyone's got a Ginchy little monster that, you know, you can, you're controlling. But it's starting to get some of those elements of the more intense games. So that's King of Tokyo. I think there's a King of New York version of it out now too. Same game, just different venue. And then this one I found is The Haunting House. I usually can get a lot of players involved. There's a lot of strategy this game. It's starting to bring in elements of a tile board game that changes as you're playing.
What's the basic premise of, like, I mean, I guess it's about a haunted house, but like, what's the goal of it?
Well, the goal is, the premise is you're a bunch of punk teenagers who all bet each other to go into a haunted house, and now your goal is to be the first one out, because guess what, going into a haunted house sucks. So, you want to get out. So, and the exit keeps moving, and so you may have a perfect strategy in your head of how you're going to get out, and the very next round, the exit's on the other side of the board. So, and it's supposed to be like a half-hour gameplay, but I think we have, you know, if you have some people that have good strategy.
It's only because you have a lot of crosstalk.
Yeah, you can end up an hour, 2 hours, something like that, but it's still starting to bring into, like, I can get, like, my folks to play this game, and, you know, it's easy enough to learn, but they're starting to learn some of the game mechanics of, you know, so then some of the more complex, like German games and that kind of thing. So these are ones I'd start off.
I want to highly recommend, if Larry busts out this game later, don't play with him. He cheats.
Larry cheats. That being said, Larry cheats on every game that he plays.
He finds loopholes.
It's called cheating.
Extra cards up his sleeve.
Not loopholes. It's cheating. Okay. Jonah, board game.
I know me and my friends, or my friend really likes Werewolf and Help Wanted.
Oh yeah, Help Wanted. Yeah.
We'll be touching on both of those games in a bit.
Yeah, Help Wanted's not the most child-friendly game.
No, it's not child-friendly at all.
Not at all, Werewolf. It's actually really, really fun because of the secret-y, I guess, type of deal that comes with the game. You have to find that on the werewolf, and you can't find that.
Yeldona!
Yeldona! Project! We have an audience!
That's all he can do.
What'd you say, boy?
Move the retron.
Speak up, let that be the
no, way. What about you were saying help wanted now?
It's
you
not
you were saying that this is not child friendly.
No, it's not.
It probably counts as child abuse that I let Jonah play this game, honestly. So,
okay, we'll touch on that. So for our audience, this is Jonah's father here. So all the bad influence, the inappropriate behavior, his fault. Just saying right now. He raised the kid, okay?
Surprisingly enough, this is my dad, too.
Yeah, I'm his dad. So all the inappropriate behavior,
his fault.
My fault. I'm good with that.
See, in general, they grow up like this.
Okay.
It's not a pretty road for me.
Yeah, it doesn't end well. All right, Laura.
I'm actually going to go old school. It's not like a cool indie game like all these other people have. I'm actually a really big fan of board games. I like video games as well, but I like the simpler ones. I don't have the best hand-eye coordination, so board games are really cool for me. I'm gonna go with Pictionary because I always bust this game out. It's really simple. It's a really simple concept. I'm sure you've all heard of Pictionary, but you draw, and your partner or your team has to guess what you're drawing. Now, if you're a terrible drawer like me, hilarity ensues every time. The game is always different because you're always drawing something different. And it's just something, you know, fun for family, friends, pretty much anyone who comes along.
Do you think it's a good gateway drug, though? Something that brings people into maybe the
world of
gamers?
I think so. I mean, I think it at least gets people, when my friends come over, like, they're like, oh, I don't want to play a board game, like, that's lame, and you're like, oh, well, let's just try, and then by the end of the game, they're like, oh, well, what else you got?
The thing is like, storytelling games and stuff, especially over the past few years, there's been people who have become really great thematic storytelling-based games rather than things that are based on rule mechanics. It appeals to some people more.
Well, the problem is with rule mechanics is you spend so much time getting the rule mechanics down that by the time you actually get to the game, everyone's going, time to leave.
Right.
You know, or we're so drunk that the rule mechanics no longer apply. Who cares? In Pictionary, you can actually play it.
Right. And you can play. It's even more fun when you're a little tipsy, I would say.
I think one of the most important things about getting a game that is for beginners is having a set standard of instructions that everybody can understand. As you get more advanced, one of the things that I found is I'm a little bit better with instructions that maybe aren't really clear. You know, because a lot of games assume that you've already played like an RPG or you've played this kind of game before, and the instructions reflect that, where you don't really understand how the game goes. That was very distracting.
Wasn't that?
Just
no problem. No problem. A little hand action going on.
But I think that games that are very specific about how the rules are played are really important for new players and people that you're trying to get into a new type of game.
You know, kind of along the lines of that, I mean, I think if you're going to pull new gamers in, whatever game you pull out, make sure you yourself are totally confident in the rules. And so you can just tell them or explain them. You're not sitting there flipping through a book yourself. And
I think that's right.
New gamers are going to be out at that point.
No, and that's a really good point to bring up with bringing people into gaming. If you want your friends who don't play games to play games with you, don't be smug about the rules and know the rules. Don't go with obscure loopholes in the rules when you're playing your friends.
That's the last time
they're going to play that game with you.
But that's out the window once they're experienced gamers.
All right.
That said, if you're somebody that's watched our Let's Plays, we're usually doing beta games, so that totally explains away why we're like that.
Yeah.
Why? Do you want to talk about that now?
We'll talk about that. All right, New, what do you got?
I'm actually going to go with Cards Against Humanity, which is pretty much the adult version of Apples to Apples.
This is not a child-friendly game.
This is not child-friendly
at
all.
At all.
Especially when one of the cards is...
Children in the audience, Noob.
Yeah.
Mine's at the end.
But the reason why we had hand-to-hand action is because we were handing around this bad boy under us.
Yes. So needless to say, Cards Against Humanity, we've been
also very popular.
Oh, very popular.
Everybody
knows
it probably.
Yeah.
Especially with their famous Black Friday thing. Yes. If anybody knows about that.
What's the mechanics of it? What kind of game is it?
It's pretty much, if anybody has ever played Apples to Apples, which is the kid-friendly version of Cards.
The original, and they were a company out of Madison originally before they were bought out.
Yeah.
They, so.
But like, there's always the Madison boxes.
But like, some people get a sentence and it's just like, what, like.
Don't you know, I don't think you
step
can
one,
I don't
play,
think
step
I don't
two,
think you go into
play,
any
step three, yeah. Profit.
So,
and
so you're saying it's
anybody
a great
already knows how to play.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Some cards.
If you've
you
never heard
of
it, you're probably
not.
Okay. Alright. So Nubat, you're next. What do you got, Nubat?
I picked Werewolf. I recently come into this game. I think it's a lot of fun because you can get as big of a group as you want. To any age. Like, this is a game I could probably play with my grandma, and my grandma loves to hang out and do things with the family. So, if you've ever played Mafia, it's just like Mafia. So, you'll have your group of your villager people, and then hidden in your villagers, you'll have a werewolf. So, basically what happens is, you'll go to sleep at night, and then you'll have a game master, and they'll have the werewolves wake up, and they'll decide if they want to kill somebody at night. And then if they do, then they'll say, oh, something tragic happened last night. We had a werewolf come into town. And
I'm the werewolf.
Huh?
Yes, no, I'm the werewolf.
No, no, I'm not
first.
The werewolf.
Lying piece of crap.
I want you to hang me every game.
That's usually what happens. Very first round. Tom's the werewolf and he'll
be
dead.
It's none of us either. It's so strong.
So they'll have other nifty little characters in there, like you'll have a hunter where the hunter can check out people throughout the game. And we have the card called the Seer, which at night when you're sleeping, they can point to somebody and say, hey, is this person a villager or is this person a werewolf? You have the witch who can choose to save somebody's life. If they know they're gonna die, they can either save them or they can take their life and blame it on the werewolves. I think it's the perfect game since nowadays we have witches and werewolves and vampires are making a huge comeback. And
it's also very much like the game Mafia, if you've ever played that.
That's what
Mafia
I said.
Is very compact, but that's something that a lot of
people
have.
There's a lot to be really said. It's really good. It's a very storytelling-based game. The mechanics are very simple. You have one card to handle, and the only thing you have to do is not reveal your card unless you die. So it's villagers versus werewolves. There's a lot of different roles people can throw in. It's kind of a gateway into like a tabletop or like role playing because you actually have to be this character. You're gonna have to lie and deceive. It changes every game because you play with a different group of people. People play differently. Some people like to play reserved in the background. Some people like to gun for people. It's a very almost like a big social experiment, and the great part is you can play with a smaller group, you can scale it up to like 60 some people, seeing games at Gen Con, you know, everybody's a huge circle, it's a great time. And this is something that you have to take a little time to explain to somebody, but within 10 minutes the mechanics are simple enough that, you know, anybody of any age can pick it up because you only have one card to remember and then it's just a lot of BS from
there. Well, that's what's nice about it is it's actually social. You have to be interactive. You have to talk with the people around you. You have to converse and say, oh, hey, well, I think this person's this, but I'm not really sure. And
yeah, it really is a good social.
I've told people afterwards, you know, you just got done playing a role-playing game, right?
Yeah,
that's
the gateway drug.
Of the games we've been talking about, I'd say this is probably, if you want to get your friends into role-playing games, this is probably the best gateway drug.
It's so much fun.
And it's so addictive. Like, sometimes games can go so fast, and sometimes they can take a while.
Right. But all of a sudden you play a round, and then another round, and then another round, and another round.
And after that time, you realize 4 hours have gone past.
Yes, exactly.
There are very few games that I'm like don't feel like I can bring to like a party full of non-gamers. That is one of them. Like, I will bring it, and I'll explain it, and they'll get a little weirded out, but they'll abuse me. And then 4 hours later, we're still like, hey, can you GM another round? I'm like, during the game, you have one person actually moderates it and kind of says, oh, hey, this person's still alive, and you kind of keep track of the werewolves and everything. It's just as fun to GM as it is to play.
And
to watch everything unfold, it's super fun, and I highly recommend it. It's cheap, it scales well, it's good for roleplay crowds.
And that's another good point to bring up. Even for people who aren't used to GMing a game, it's a good practice way to GM. You don't have to do a bunch of storytelling, but you have to control all the storytelling that's going on around you and all the actions that are going on around you. But there's not all the game mechanics you have to worry about, all the charts and tables and dice rolls and everything else. it really is so straightforward.
That is true, because that is one of the first games I've ever GM'd. I didn't do so hot, but I did.
But you did, and it's a good way to get started.
Also, I like there's also another in-depth version of it that Travis has got. One of my favorite cards is called the Village Idiot, because you have to vote for someone to die each night.
That's the Village Idiot.
All right,
so Travis,
right.
What do you got,
boys? On the base level, we'll compare it to like a Cards Against Humanity game. What I really like about Help Wanted is it has the same judge system where every round a different person will play the judge. You have cards. But basically, the cards are problems. And then the cards you get in your hand are solutions to those problems. And they'll be very weird / kind of disgusting. I would recommend this as an adult audience game.
I was going to say, not a child-friendly game again. This is an adult game.
There are some very vulgar things on the lines of, you know, Cards Against Humanity. But the great part about it is there's a lot more replayability in this. I love Cards Against Humanity. I own the bigger, blacker box. I own a lot of the unofficial expansions. I have bought, like, everything there is for Cards Against Humanity. But out of this box, I get a lot more replayability because it's a storytelling-based game. It's not you just play the card and that's the solution to the card. The goal is you have to use the solutions in your hand to solve the problem, and you have to explain it in a story. So you come up with a short blurb, like, I have a hot air balloon, and I can use it to float over these enemies, or you basically have to get creative in the way you tell your story.
That's what I like, you basically gotta sell.
Yeah, in some veins, it's a lot harder for people to get into, because Cards Against Humanity, for example, the answers are clear-cut, they're there in front of you, that's what it is. With Help Wanted, you have to be a salesman about it. You have to say, hey, this is why my card is awesome, and this is why I can help you solve your problem.
And then you have the absolute best story fit that you could ever have, and then someone throws a None of That Happens card on you.
that was the best. So you'll basically be able to choose combinations, and I'll read some of the more appropriate ones.
Thank you.
Very vulgar ones, but yeah, like my roommate is a former president, my stepson is a witch doctor, I live in Africa, I'm a level 85 healer, I have a chainsaw. So you use combinations of these cards to solve the problem that the judge has, and then they get to choose what it is. So it's very similar to Cards Against Humanity, very easy to pick up for people who've played that, but there's so much more replayability, and I have a lot of fun playing it every time, because my friends are ridiculous, and it's great after a few rounds of tricks.
And it's refreshing, because for me, like, Cards Against Humanity has just, like, every time you go over to someone's house, like, it's really become very mainstream, so even people who aren't gamers want to play Cards Against Humanity. Yeah. But Help Wanted is nice, because it's, like, it's new.
It's refreshing, yeah.
It's refreshing.
It makes you think outside of the box, like, right. Oh man, now I have to use my brain instead of just throwing down a card. It's like, I have to think of a story to tell a judge, guy, on how to fix his problem.
Why are we going to switch this?
We're not going to switch it because right there at the arrow is, by the way, the creator.
Forrest?
Help Wanted, Forrest Bauer. And I want to mention a little bit about Forrest Bauer. I was going to put this in at the end, but Forrest Bauer runs an excellent YouTube station called Bauer's Gaming Corner, which he really
is better than our show, actually. But
that both shows are
better. And he'll hang around with us.
More professional, certainly.
Certainly more professional. But he runs a show called Bauer's Gaming Corner, which is on YouTube. I really recommend you check it out because he does a whole lot of indie games that nobody else has checked out. He gets a lot of betas, beers. Have another beer, Rob.
Yeah.
He has a whole lot of betas, and he's really, really excellent.
And created this excellent game.
Plus, if you see us at the Midwest Gaming Classic, he usually does more work than we do for our own podcast. Really excellent guy, and he really deserves your views, so check him out.
All right, Chess, you can do one more for us.
Yeah, the second one, I'll brush over this quickly.
I love this.
This is an amazing game.
Yeah, it's another one that's really cool, really easy to pick up. It's called Cash and Guts. And I know it's kind of starting to hit big. It was really big at Gen Con this year. Basically, long story short, is you are all robbers, and you get to sit around in a circle, shoot each other, steal loot, and come out on top with the most amount of money without dying. The great
not dying part is the important part.
The great part is everybody gets a nice, cool foam gun, which draws a lot of attention. Because if you're sitting in conventions, sitting around at a table, pointing guns at each other, people tend to take notice. I've played this in restaurants and bars a couple times, and people are a little
uneasy.
A little uneasy, but it's a lot
orange tip or not.
So basically, and it's pretty quick once you get the hang of it. It's another one that the mechanics are very vast, but it's very easy to pick up. You have 8 rounds each turn, each game, and everybody will spend turns pointing guns at each other, shooting each other, collecting money. It's a lot of fun, and it's a, as long as you know you're not, as long as you're okay with fake violence, it's a okay for all age ranges. It's pretty fun, pretty easy to learn.
Yeah, very cartoony.
Yeah, yeah. Super cartoony.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, well, I am going to talk about another really good one. For again, if you've got friends who really don't play games and you don't want to go with a ton of mechanics, there are some mechanics to the game, but they are fairly straightforward and simple. It's called Bang. Larry found this game first and turned us onto it like ages ago. So it originally was out of some publisher in Germany. I don't even know who the publisher
was
in Germany.
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci out of Germany.
Yeah.
Okay, but... So the first version Larry had was like in Italian and English.
That version?
Yeah, this version. So the cards were like, and all of a sudden you read it's like, why is this in Italian?
Larry
well,
sits us down to play, and
yeah,
we're like, I can't
read
this.
Italian.
You know,
the cards are in Italian. But, so it's because he got one of the very early versions of this. But the game has really caught on like wildfire, because it's got really good gameplay, good game replay, and the mechanics, even though they can be a little bit involved, are not overly complicated.
I think I have an underlying theme. It's like friendly betrayal in all of these games. Let's see, cash counts,
oh, yeah.
Backstabbing, help wanted, bang, backstabbing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's
werewolf,
backstabbing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of betrayal.
Yeah, we kind of lean more with those games.
I think the original Bang, by the way, is one of those games because nobody knows really what the other characters are. You kind of have to guess by their behavior
right.
What the other character's doing.
The premise is basically you have
a
few
sheriff.
Agents. There's a sheriff.
Everyone
who's trying to get rid of the outlaws in the town. You have a couple of deputies, but the deputies are hidden. They're trying to protect the sheriff.
Because the sheriff forgot who he hired.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then what are the other two teams again?
The Renegade.
The
Renegade.
Just
basically wants to kill everybody
right.
And be the lone man standing.
So on the board, everybody is hidden but the sheriff. So the outlaws are trying to shoot at the sheriff and kill him so they can win. The Renegade is trying to kill both the outlaws
and
the sheriff so they can be the last person standing. It becomes a little crazy when you don't know whatever.
Well, and you're starting to pull in role-playing again, where you're
correct.
A certain character that you're trying to be, you know, you're
trying
to
play
a
role,
certain
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of thing.
Right, so it's not complete role-playing, because it really is a game about the mechanics more than it is about the role-playing.
But you
but
win a lot by lying.
Is, right, but there still is the deception aspect, so you do have to do a little bit of role-playing to get that deception aspect across. So that kind of works out well.
And it's the original was set in the West, obviously.
Correct. It basically is a spaghetti Western game.
Right.
Hence the Italian version that
which
you first got.
I like the West. That's what drew me to it.
But
and there are a lot of games that are all... I've tried a lot of games that are set in the West. And most of them don't have long play. You know,
this one has got replayability.
And we've played that one quite a bit.
Again and again and again. I mean, it replays beautifully. So literally, this is the absolute first time we're playing. You can see Drunken Larry there poring over the rule book, trying to figure out what the but because the rule book is partially his rally
saying.
So but evidently
before you talk about that quick, I will mention that there are two versions, the Walking Dead version
yeah, and
the Hero no before you get to
okay.
that
version,
hell
the
that
version. And the Hero Storm
I mean,
version,
Heroes of the Storm.
Which
yeah.
are basically the exact same game as Bang. But set in a different environment. Obviously, Walking Dead is set in the world of Walking Dead.
Right.
And Hero Storm, I didn't know that
was a Blizzard
video game and that, but
right.
apparently that's a licensed video game. And,
even before
and,
the game came out, they
but
about it.
Now this one that you're going to talk to is
totally
different.
Yeah.
See, now yeah, that's interesting because so the Walking Dead one we found to be pretty much just Bang with some minor variations.
Yeah.
Reskin.
So, yeah. So if you prefer the Walking Dead world
versus the Western world,
last, buy that version.
Right.
You know.
But now this one, they actually did a really nice job altering the rules a little bit. So it still has the basic mechanics of Bang. Range, you get weapons, you have life that you go through, but they really managed to kind of get the whole Halo thing going. Red versus blue. Respawns.
Everybody knows who each other is. That's like the big difference.
Right.
We all know what team
you know
we're
who, which team you're on, you know who you're trying to kill in this game.
And the respawn,
which
is huge.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh yeah, you get to respawn.
You can respawn in this game. If you like Halo and you like a board game, definitely a good one.
Oh, hell, if you hate Halo,
it's still a good
board
game. So, definitely a good one to pick up. So, all right, so Rob, what's your game?
Oh, it's Guillotine. I love Guillotine.
Oh, this is an awesome game.
This is a game where you score points basically by chopping off the heads.
Little dark.
Yeah, of the royalty.
Of the French aristocracy.
You
actually
have
fair,
a... You and murdering
your
friends, man. I tell you,
the heads are coming off.
Yeah, you
you're
know,
just collecting.
You're right. You're not killing them. You're just collecting their heads
for points.
Much less prizes. Much less.
Yeah, well, it's not bad if you're collecting their heads for points.
Like prizes at a birthday party.
It is a bit like prizes.
I think
that
would have birthday party.
I don't
want to
go to that birthday party, Larry.
I don't know if I
want
to go to that birthday party, Larry.
We're good.
All right. So continue, Rob.
Basically, there's one row of cards in the center that basically represents the heads, and you score points by taking the heads of the royals and their associates. And there's different action cards that affect the line. Basically, and the whole idea is to affect the line. You want to move the card that scores the most points to the front of the line, and every card does that. You can move things three up, three down. You can stop people from playing. You can stop people from shifting the line.
So people's heads are worth a certain number of points.
Right, exactly.
Depending on how high they are in the aristocracy.
There's even negative points for people that people
are
like.
Innocent, yeah.
And
like,
you don't want to get
like
stuck.
The town hero is negative points.
Yes, the town hero is negative points.
That doesn't mean he's not going to lose his head.
He's still being beheaded.
He's still
going
to kill
him. Being beheaded, though.
And it's basically played in three rounds, which are considered days. And at the end of those 3 days, whoever has the most points wins. And the beauty of this game is that it's super, super easy to play.
Yes.
And you can screw your neighbor. I really, I found that even my mother-in-law, who does not play these games at all, will play this game and have fun and ask for it. So it's really just a wonderful game for beginners.
Also pretty easy to find and pretty cheap to pick up too.
Yeah,
which is, you know, considering it's a Wizard of the Coast. Yeah, you could actually show them the game. So I gotta ask, what does that one go for roughly?
It's less than $20.
So
if you pay $20, you're paying high.
So now here's the thing also about games and people who don't play games. You know, you don't really want to go out and spend $75 or $100 on a game.
As much as I love spending an afternoon on Arkham.
Right.
Well, I would.
Yeah, Arkham Horror is always a brilliant game.
Spill your booze, Tom.
I did spill my booze. Shoot back.
And it comes with this really, really sexy guillotine.
Yeah, nice little card.
And if that is not like a selling point, I don't know what it is.
But that is important, because that tells you the end and the beginning of the line. So
it does. This indicates the beginning of the line.
Photo of the audience.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, guys.
Are you really, really talking?
Don't worry about it.
No, off camera staff.
Yeah, we were talking off camera staff.
Don't worry.
We were doing so good, guys.
We were almost not talking.
We were doing
all right,
so
all right. All right.
The
so,
they've broken.
All right, so I think we've kind of gotten through the first topic. But overall, the one thing, again, I like to do when it comes to gaming, and that's why I like the games like Bang and Werewolf. Okay, so Werewolf, literally. Werewolf, this is the cheapest version you can probably buy.
Under $10.
It is literally like somebody's hand-drawn version of it. The cards are nice, but I mean, they're not graphically spectacular. You don't have all the funny cards in this one. It's got a few of the extra cards. Literally, this was a card you can throw in your top shirt pocket, take to a party, we use it camping, the whole nine yards, whip it out, and get people playing.
Well, once you know the rules of Werewolf,
you can use a deck of cards.
You could use a deck of cards.
The face cards can be the certain specialty characters, villagers, but again, elmers.
$7. $7.
Yeah,
it's like $7.
You're right,
and you get a really good party game. Okay, so, Rob, what are we up to next?
Well, we are going to talk about our last topic of
briefly,
the night.
Briefly.
Yes, and it is going to go fast.
I want to talk hours on this.
Yeah, we were going to...
No, you are not. No, Larry, you are not. By the way, Larry could have his own podcast. I do not know why he hasn't done the spinoff.
All right, so what is the
topic?
It
depends on how much he has.
Yes. The topic is...
I don't want to work that hard.
You really don't. The topic is tabletop video games that are either directly or roughly tabletop video. Somebody wrote the topic wrong. It's
don't,
video games.
Don't look at me.
It's video games that could have been or are based on a tabletop video
games. Okay, but we are going to go through this quickly. So, let's see. Actually, I think...
Wait. Well, you know, first thing I want to do
is talk,
you know... Just kind of throwing it out to the panel here. For me,
I want a port of a game. I want a direct port of that game, maybe with an AI, so I can play solitaire event essentially. You know, but I don't want great changes in the essence of whatever that game is. Like Space Hulk is one that I think of that that Space Hulk was a turn-based game, that was a board game, turn-based, and when it first sort of came out on the computer platform, they turned it into basically an action game.
Yes, yes.
And it was very frustrating because I really just wanted to play the
board
game, you know,
and it
wasn't
the
really good,
one of it.
As opposed to like lately, Talisman, an excellent version of Talisman has come out, and it's just the board game, and there's an AI so you can play if you don't happen to have any friends.
But it's a board game.
But
it's straight
board game. So what is the panel kind of expect when you get
there is no expectation.
Okay, so we'll bring that up as we go. Let's start with Laura.
I picked Monopoly for the Sega Genesis because I actually hate Monopoly, the board game, because it takes way too long. So the Sega Genesis version goes very quickly, and it has the cute little Monopoly guy,
and he
comes up and he talks, and it's much easier and faster than like the original Monopoly. You don't have to deal, like no one has to be the banker, which is the worst part of the game.
Yeah.
Nobody has to deal with money. It's just very automatic. So you can play the game, you get all the fun of Monopoly, classic game, but you don't have to sit there and...
So an immediate con I see is you can't flip the table when you're done.
Well, okay, wait a minute, who's put the table at the end of Monopoly?
But
almost.
Yeah.
But I love being a banker. You can loiter money to yourself.
Grandma cheese.
All right, Jonah.
So that's a good example of a straight port.
But then
they didn't
straight
turn
port.
Money bags into an adventure game.
No.
You know, where you had to, like, go buy hotels.
There were some weird-ass ports of Monopoly, though. All right, Jonah.
All right, I have this game. It's Pick called up. Evil Apples.
Evil Apples?
Evil Apples? I haven't heard of this.
No. It's on your iPhone and Android phone devices, I should say. But basically, it's like Cards Against Humanity, but on your iPhone.
Get out!
And not everyone has to be there, but you can play with, I think it goes up to 10 people per game, and you earn things for winning each round, and there's coins and cakes. And with coins and cakes that you win from playing with your friends, you can buy other card packs so that you can use them on your next game with your friends. So
basically, it is is there a hard version of that, or is it only computerized?
It's only computerized.
Okay.
It's just
a card game converted over.
Yeah, it's like Cards Against Humanity, just called a different name.
All right. Well,
hold on a minute, son. We're gonna have to work on our communication because I didn't know about that.
Yeah, you know, we're supposed to tell them about the good games you find.
Yeah.
All right. So we got another Monopoly.
I know. It's.
No, it's a very Monopoly. It's a classic board game.
It is a classic board game, and it's you don't want to play it in real life, but you actually get AI in the.
But the NES version.
I do have the NES bit, and when you're picking a like character face off against, they have like just these snooty like rich people on the cover of it that just makes you feel like crap. But then there's also a part where you can actually.
You can just keep talking.
You
didn't have to stop.
It's kind of hard when you're like, hey,
what's going on?
Look at me.
Keep going. If you're the lucky winner,
yeah.
Run out and buy it.
Yes.
Buy Monopoly.
You can actually play this game on your Retron if you win the Retron today.
But there's
run out and get that cartridge.
But there's also this like little hidden part that I didn't know about that you can actually bid, and when you're bidding against a computer, like you can get like the cheapest one, which is like Fawlty Avenue, right? Which is like $50. You can get them to overbid it and almost win the game within one turn because you're just being an a-hole.
So you like playing because
you're
cheating.
I'm not kidding. We started like the game, and I was just like, all right, I'm gonna bid as high as I can, and
like,
you will keep on going with you as long as you can. And all of a sudden, like hey, you win because the computer landed on your spot.
So again,
you can win with it.
It's 8-bit stupid, and you can cheat.
Yeah, it's the Nintendo version of Monopoly.
Wow.
I totally didn't expect that, huh?
No,
yeah, you didn't expect that, but hey, cheat right there, or glitch, or whatever you want to call it.
All right, Nubat, we're going with another classic board game.
Mine is the Game of Life. I always love playing Life with my family. But my brothers never really liked playing with me because they always wanted to play their video games that I wasn't allowed to touch because I would break the system. So, yeah. Well, basically, the Christmas present was a PS1 that my uncle gave basically to me to share with my brothers, and they basically just took it from me and told me I wasn't allowed to touch it because I was going to break it. So...
Let's keep going. All right. I'm allowing going here.
So, I would always like to play the game of life because I could play against the computer, and I wouldn't have to worry about them cheating, and I could actually play the game whenever my family wasn't available to play or my brothers wouldn't play with me. I always thought it was pretty fun and pretty easy to play, and it went a lot quicker than actually playing with people because you don't have to wait for them to finish.
All right. Okay. All right, so you're up next.
And this is upcoming within the next few months. They had a Kickstarter mid to late last year, a Boss Monster. I really have learned to love it, and I've been super addicted to it. And now that the Kickstarter beta is starting to come out, and it's getting released in the next couple months, and it's getting released on everything. It's on Steam, it's on your tablet, it's on iOS, Android devices. I can play Boss Monster anywhere. Basically, I know some people have heard of it, but it's a game where you are playing the boss of a dungeon. And your job is to kill heroes that venture into your dungeon. So you're trying to lure them in with treasure and then destroy them. And your object is to collect hero souls to win the game. And it's a very fun game. It's pretty quick paced once you get the hang of it. It's a little more advanced. I wouldn't recommend it to somebody who's not used to board games. But the digital port is absolutely beautiful. It's really built for a touch interface. It's super great. You can play it within, 30, 40 minutes. The biggest drawback, I think, is it's only 2 to 4 players. And I understand it plays very well for 2 to 4 players. If you scale it any larger, it would probably be drawn out and awful. But it's a very fun game. And if you get
the card game has a problem with that. If you play more than 4 players in the card game.
You can't play more than 4 players. It's 2 to 4 players.
It is 2 to 4. I thought we played more.
Yeah, no. Right. But
it's a drawing.
So there's PTSD flashbacks.
Yeah, we played 6, but we were playing it wrong.
But I do have to say, I saw you guys playing it.
It's a very cool thematic game, and basically as the game progresses, you build a dungeon and you build traps and you put in monsters in your dungeon, and it's a lot of fun. It's really, really cool, and the guys make it a really awesome. I really enjoy playing. I highly recommend when it comes out within the next couple months, you check it out the digital version because it's going to cost almost nothing, and it works really well to be able to play it anytime against CPUs or your friends.
Okay. On a side note, though, I saw you guys playing it at NetFest, which is our local kind of like LAN party, and I felt like the kid that doesn't get chosen for anything. I was like, oh man, that looks really awesome.
Well,
I'm
going to go old school, and I do mean old school. This is a vintage 80s video game on the Amiga system. It is truly the absolute, if you are a Battletech guy, this is the absolute perfect port. So perfect that FASA got all over the guy who wrote this game, because it was a public domain game he released. Guy was a naval intelligence / simulator guy. So he wrote simulators, and the AI is perfect, the gameplay is perfect. It has every mech that you've ever played.
AKA it's very hard.
Yes, AKA it's very hard. But it is an absolute great party game for groups, for people who play this kind of gaming. It is really a port of the whole world, board game-wise, pencil, paper, dice game-wise. It's absolutely flawless. It handles the mechanics for you, and the AI, because the guy did AI for the Navy, is spot on. It doesn't cheat, it plays rough. Even on the easiest game, you're lucky to survive because they're really good, but it is good AI.
We're huge mech nerds, and we love anything that's standing and has guns on it.
Yes.
Seriously, like playing it, it really feels like a board game. It's hex-based, it's really cool. You can customize your mechs. Anybody who knows Battletech Universe, it's very expansive. It's got everything.
You got all your piloting
you
skills.
Got the clan mechs,
you've got clans. In the later versions, they had drop ships and drop... I mean, they really did everything right. The game was just...
If you're looking to waste 8 hours, that is the one you want to do.
WinUAE emulator for the PC runs Amiga stuff perfectly, and there are literally whole sites dedicated to that particular game because it is...
The game is open domain.
Right. It's not open source, it's public domain. The author never released the source for it, which is always a big issue of contention. Yeah, everyone wants to pick it up and
work
keep
on it.
Also note that later versions of it were called Battle Force.
Yes.
Due to licensing issues.
Yeah, because he got in all sorts of trouble with those guys.
Even though it's public domain.
Yeah.
Really, all right. Anyway. Run spell. Runespell is a game made by Mystic Box Games. And has anybody played Puzzle Quest? We got one guy.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the audience.
Hey, you guys know what's going on. I have no idea.
So those two out there have more an idea about this game than you do.
Hey, I'm still kind of new to the board game thing. So, right.
So don't worry. This is totally not board game. This is electronic only.
Well,
so far as I know. But basically, if you paint...
And it's a pretty poor port.
Oh. It's not a port. I told you.
You saw the topic.
We had this discussion at the meeting, Larry.
Yeah, and I objected then.
We had a meeting? When did this happen?
You objected. You objected and you fell down. But anyway, basically, it is Puzzle Quest, but with poker. So this is basically a game where you play poker, but it's laid out a lot like solitaire, where you have a whole bunch of cards and you try to arrange a poker hand. And the poker hands do different damage based on, you know, how high of a poker hand they are. And, you know, everybody, your enemy has hit points, you have hit points, and you either win or lose based on how many hit points damage you take or do. Basically, it's a card-based RPG with poker. That's what we're looking at here. One of the nice things that it does really well is the AI is really freaking hard. It plays really well, or else I play poker really bad. I'm not honest.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking the lottery on that.
But it also has additions. It's also like more of a standard RPG card-based games, in that you can have other non-player characters that help you out that are also cards, and you can have spells that are cards. So it's a really fun game. It's under $10, usually on Steam. And the only problem is, if you happen to be a Mac player and you have anything newer than Mavericks, don't buy the Mac version because it doesn't work, and they're not going to update it.
Quick question.
Yes,
it seems to me. It seems to me from what all of everything we chose, we
You're
really
right.
like the straight port. But is
You're
anybody
right.
like the other version where someone takes the essence
no,
of
a spiritual
game?
Successor?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of one game where they've done that right.
Yeah, anybody?
Nope. Only poker has been
right.
done. So.
Right. Wait, now before that,
since me and Laura chose
Monopoly. We need to before we end the show though, we need to draw for somebody to win some really cool prizes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I need some raffle tickets up here. We have a second prize now.
Yeah, we got a second prize.
Yes,
yeah.
There's a second place winner now too.
No, you don't get it. This is for our wonderful audience. Get out of here.
We have shirts? Oh, well, the shirt. We got shirts too. Oh, I guess we have shirts.
Those are being thrown randomly into the audience.
Yes, we will throw those randomly into the audience.
Nah, you can raffle them.
Alright, we'll raffle them. Okay. Alright, well, you know what I'm going to do, because we did say we're going to do one raffle. The first raffle we are going to do is for the big prize,
and
then we will raffle for the small prizes.
Don't you worry.
Ooh, dude, I am not putting those in that hat.
You've been wearing that for 2 years straight, bro.
I need something bigger to put these in, though. Okay? No.
My hat.
No, Mike already took the hat off.
You want to put it in my pants?
Use this bag.
I'm not.
Yeah, use the bag.
I am not putting it in your hat.
What is wrong with the hat?
It's been on your head.
Okay. 9 years.
Jess, shall we start with a small one?
I think that came out.
Let's start working
with
it.
All right, we're
going to
work.
You know what,
honey? Yeah, apparently I'm 9, too.
Just put it out.
Actually, no, we are going to do the Firefly first, okay?
Right,
so,
right.
The first prize we're going to give away this really cool Firefly.
I'm going to drop.
All right, she gets to draw. All right, wow. All right.
Come on up, get your prize.
Now we are going to throw some shirts out in the audience when we're done here as well. So hang around for just a second.
Winner.
So the next one is for the big prize. So those of you who aren't familiar with retro gaming, we are big retro gaming fans. This is a Retron 2 gaming system. This will play all your classic 8-bit NES and 16-bit SNES cartridges. It is an absolute brilliant piece of kit.
Hyperkin makes
great hardware. They bleach up those guys every year and do it. Okay.
Okay, so you.
That's if they're ever.
You gotta draw.
Right.
You gotta draw this.
I gotta draw this.
You gotta draw this. All right. For the big one, guys. All right.
It is 01002.
01002.
www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. The G2B theme is played by Larry Davis and Bob Harmel. Still listening? Alright, fine. Gutter Geeks and Guys Games and Beer are trademarks of the Guys Games and Beer podcast. So there.